I was speculating that one of the reasons why it's so hard to gain weight when you are in these very advanced stage of being attacked with this weapon. Because if you don't get to this point, it doesn't necessarily manifest. And hopefully you won't. Hopefully you do, because I believe a lot of folk start gaining weight as a response to their distress. And then you really are dead in the water. You don't make it to the point where you can't keep weight on. Anyway, this is another digression. I shouldn't go there. But because there is, it's an electrical assault, there's contraction of the muscles. And I mean, so that has to burn energy, right? You know, any doctors out there? Confirm, confirm. We need some doctors who are experts, who are on our side, not these Mengelas in the service of these fascists who are actually exploring the impact on the body of various types of EMF assault. Because at some point we will be documenting this mess. And but before that point, it's going to stop, right? Come on. We cannot let the state have a weapon that kills us invisibly. I mean, the fact that, you know, we have to make an argument here is evidence enough of the extent of their conditioning of us. But we didn't have Margaret Cheney's book. They have suppressed that book as a broad discussion globally and across every nation. We need to be discussing this man who, recall, is the greatest inventor of all time. And not just the greatest inventor of all time that we've never heard of, the greatest inventor of all time. Continuing with chapter 16, ridiculed, condemned, combated. Rumors were spreading that J.P. Morgan had acquired Tesla's radio patents just to prevent their development, but there was no proof. When bad news whispered along Wall Street, it gained strength from itself. Word that Morgan was dropping out of the World System venture, he'd actually been only a lender, convinced other potential backers that it must be a soap bubble. Tesla knew that such rumors were killing him, but there was little he could do except live each day trying to dodge bill collectors, pleading with other bankers and rich acquaintances, working out scientific problems of the project, seeking to market other inventions, and bidding for consultancies. The multiplier effect of his hard luck knew no geographic limits. He was sued for non-payment of electricity furnished to the experiment station at Colorado Springs. And this was odd, considering that Leonard Curtis, one of the owners of the City Power Company, had assured him that electricity would be free. The city of Colorado Springs also sued him for water bills. Finally, the caretaker of his old experiment station brought an action for unpaid balance of wages due him. And I'm commenting here, these tactics of power, we could call it the attempt to orchestrate stress, for anyone in the crosshairs recognizes them easily as such. The meanness and maliciousness of them. Recall Jeremy Bentham's identification and categorization of that which, when grasped by the so-called master class, allows these global state guys to influence the mental and spiritual state of the human being underclass, allows them to wield as weapon the knowledge of that which can manipulate, whether to encourage or inspire or hurt, whether to stroke or to strike, in order to make the target do or feel what it is those who celebrate their ruthlessness as evidence of their superiority, the maxim might makes right, want them to do or feel. And the coerced work system that we must go to power to eat ensures that it is the very rare individual underclass who doesn't take the money when power extends it to make them its puppet, pawn, agent for a specific objective. I have acquired this knowledge the hard way. Obviously, the global statesman could see how grating on his psyche it would be for the man who gave us, as a gift to humanity, electricity where it's needed, as but one of a very long list of gifts, to be told he owed us anything. Once again, power outs itself by its own egregious display of callousness. Tesla's response to the city was Teslian, inasmuch as he had graced it with his presence. And I have to interject again. This is, in fact, the case, Margaret. What I've come to recognize in sitting with the words and music of Prince is that it is very difficult for those who are the victims of an intense and coordinated media campaign of powers against them. It is very difficult for those who are the victims of an intense and coordinated media campaign of powers against them that never ends to defend themselves against it. And that the campaign, to varying degrees, tends to work, affects how we see them, largely because of the dynamics Alice discusses. Authoritarian child-rearing practices condition us to identify with power. The implantation of utilitarian ethics in all of us underclass. Again, the principle, might makes right, essentially, can only be uprooted with conscious discussion of it. In the case of both men, we're talking about extensive, decades-long campaigns to dim their glow and erase them ultimately from our minds. Because of the evolutionary nature of their gifts and of the effect of the exposure of the state's lies about them, restoring the truth of both men's stories paves our path to freedom. Continuing with Margaret, Tesla's response to the city was Teslian, inasmuch as he had graced it with his presence and had erected his famous station there, he wrote, he believed it should feel privileged to pay for the water. He believed it should feel privileged to pay for the water. He ordered the old lumber from the station sold, and the money therefrom paid to the power company. And finally, he returned to Colorado Springs to appear in court with his attorney to answer the caretaker's suit. The plaintiff was awarded a judgment of about $1,000. A sheriff's sale of laboratory fixtures paid some of it. The rest, Tesla was to pay in $30 increments dragged out over a half dozen years. Then, for a time, it seemed as if his luck was turning. Money began trickling in from the sale of medical coils, which were now being manufactured on an assembly line at Wardenclyffe for hospitals and research laboratories. And he managed to invent a new turbine of revolutionary design, which he felt sure would restore his fortune and reputation. Although partying with his friends continued, there was a new frenetic quality about it, as if the celebrants had begun to sense the tragedies ahead and were determined to lose no opportunity for laughter. And next week we'll continue our reading of chapter 16, Ridiculed, Condemned, Combated, in Margaret Cheney's Tesla, Man Out of Time.